If you've noticed the balloons floating about, the spirit is moving in this place, as is the AC, but I am delighted by the movement of air. And our scripture reading today from the book of Acts, we just have one reading today, a familiar story where we hear the account of the Holy Spirit moving for the first time in the place where these people were gathered. So our reading today from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them.
There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then,
devout pilgrims from all over the world.
When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues?
Parthians,
Medes,
and Elamites,
visitors from Mesopotamia,
Judea,
and Cappadocia,
Pontus and Asia,
Phrygia and Pamphylia,
Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene,
immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes,
even Cretans and Arabs.
They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works.
Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What is going on here?
Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine."
That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency.
"Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen.
In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I will pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved."
As always, a special time for the young ones in our midst, and of course for all of us who are young at heart, a message for our children. Obviously, Pastor Addy has called attention to our balloons and Pentecost. It is a festive day, a celebrative day. Lots of you are wearing red, which is wonderful. Today is all about God's Spirit. And God's Spirit, well, is a little tricky to understand and explain because we can't see God's Spirit the way people could see Jesus when he was here on earth. When I was growing up in church, it was often common for us to refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. And as a little child, that was kind of scary to me. In fact, the only way I could really wrap my head around that as a child was to picture Casper the Friendly Ghost. In fact, one year for Halloween, I even dressed up like Casper. But I'm pretty sure that's not what the Holy Spirit is like. The Holy Spirit is more like the wind. And we sang about that as we began worship this morning. It's not at all a surprise that in the Bible, the same word that is used for spirit is the word that appears for wind or breath. It's one word in the Old Testament, a word that sounds like this, ruach, and in the New Testament, a word that sounds like this, pneuma, Hebrew and Greek, all words meaning the same thing, spirit, breath, wind. And when I think about the Spirit being like the wind, I think about the wind outside. Now, we can't see the wind, right? But we can see what the wind does. If it's a windy day, we know it, because the trees are blowing, our hair is blowing, we feel it against our face. We see trash cans getting knocked over if it's really windy, or trees coming down if it is really, really windy. And I think, too, of balloons. I didn't know Pastor Addy was going to have these here for us, so I brought along one. But you know what happens with a balloon. If I blow this up, it doesn't look like this after I blow it up, does it? It looks like this. Okay, I cheated. I blew it up at home with the help of my husband, so I wouldn't look too silly up here this morning. But we know that there's air in this balloon, not because we can see it, but because we can see what it did to the balloon. The balloon that looked like this now looks like this, filled with air, with breath, with wind. God fills us with the Spirit in the same way wind, breath, air fills this balloon. And it changes us, giving us life-giving breath. So, as you think about today, remember the balloons up front, and I'm even going to put some balloons on the communion table so you can take them along and blow them up yourselves. But remember that the air, the wind, the breath you're putting into those balloons is like God filling us to the brim with life, with hope, with promise, with peace. Let's join together in praying, and then as we end our prayer, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Oh God, on this day when we focus on your Spirit, may we know that your Spirit is not scary at all. Your Spirit is welcome, welcoming, friendly, inviting, life-giving. It's like giving us a breath of fresh air, giving us a new chance to live. Help us to trust that your Spirit is here among us. Help us to pay attention so that we don't miss it when it is within reach. Help us always, O God, to remember that our life, our breath, all that is good comes from you. This we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, the one who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with us in a spirit of prayer. God, your spirit is in this place. We see it. We feel it. And now, God, let us have open ears to hear it. May your word be in the midst of ours, and may that word fall anew and afresh on open hearts. Amen. I picked up a children's book at our annual clergy convocation this year entitled Breathe by Laura O'Leary. I suspect it caught my eye because on the front of it, the word breathe is really big and really bold, and I'll take any wisdom I can get with regards to breathing more, so I grabbed it. I guess I shouldn't be surprised to realize that in the book's description, it said it was a child's guide to Pentecost, since breath and breathing is so much a part of this day of Pentecost and Confirmation.
Pastor Addie, it does my heart so good to know that you got a children's book at the clergy convocation. I have to confess, every year the clergy convocation has a wonderful assortment of books to lure us clergy types in, and we all come back with piles, but every year I inevitably make sure there is a children's book in the midst of things because, well, throughout my ministry, throughout my life, my observation is it is the best written children's books that have inspired me the most. They are the ones that have touched me deeply. They are the ones that have given me breath. Speaking of breath, you can attest to the fact that there is not a Sunday that goes by when we do not pause at the beginning of worship and invite you to take a deep breath. Am I right? In fact, if I didn't invite you to do that, or Pastor Addie didn't invite you to do that, you would think something was missing. It encourages us to shift our gears, to slow down, to focus differently. And throughout the years, whenever I have led Bible study, we begin in the same way. Participants can attest to this. We pause with eyes closed in the middle of the week, at the end of the day, to focus, to allow God's calming presence to come within reach. And whenever we invite people to lead in worship who have never done it before, and they're very nervous, we always remind them of the importance of breathing before they speak. Take a deep breath, we say. And they're amazed at how immediately that slows them down and calms them down. I think it absolutely no coincidence that in Scripture, as I've already mentioned in the children's message, the word for breath and spirit and wind all the same. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, the word is ruach, and it almost sounds like you're breathing. In the New Testament Greek, it is pneuma, as in pneumonia, having to do with our breath, our breathing. God's Spirit is life-giving breath. At the heart of Pentecost is God's Spirit coming into the world and into us like a breath of fresh air, filling us in new and life-changing ways.
The day of Pentecost is coming, my children's book begins. The church is changing color. The white and gold of Easter will soon burst into flaming red, then cool to green. The world outside has its own seasons. It is changing colors too. In many places, the whites and browns of winter have been folded away for another year. Colors are bursting out everywhere. Wildflowers in ditches, birds flashing bright wings, dandelions popping out in unexpected places. Everything is greening. It feels like the sleeping world is waking up again, taking a deep breath, getting ready to grow. There are many words I can think of that define what it means to be a confirmand and a person of faith at any stage of life, but two of those words, without a doubt, are breathe and grow. We often take a deep breath before we do something big, something scary, something exciting, something that is going to need all of our nerve, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. And growing in any way, but especially in faith, is, well, big. And it can be scary, and it's definitely exciting. Saying yes to God, day in and day out, inviting God along on your journey of life, takes a lot of courage. It's a leap. It takes a lot of soul strength, because it means stretching, opening ourselves up to a whole new way of being. And something that's hard for us, it means claiming what we don't know yet. Growing is not for the faint of heart.
There is a point, though, at which we stop growing, physically speaking, that is. If I remember correctly, I stopped growing taller when I was in about seventh grade. And believe it or not, there was a time in elementary school when I was one of the tallest people in my class. But of course, other people stopped growing later than I did. If I had stopped growing otherwise, though, in seventh grade, which was also when I was confirmed, like many of our confirmands, there is so much I would have missed out on. I would have been in big trouble. I, like our confirmands, would have missed out on the things that I don't yet know. There is so much more to learn about faith, about God, about how God works in this world, about people, and what makes them tick. So much of what we learn, so much of what I have learned about faith, I have learned since I was confirmed. I have learned it in the context of a wonderful and loving faith community. And for me, that faith community has been St. John's.
I think it's very easy to get caught up in the idea that our young people, all of our young people, and even all of us, need to check off a whole bunch of boxes and pass a test and recite all sorts of memorized Bible and church history facts to become members of the church. But I think that's missing the point. In the beginning of our year together, each confirmand received a packet of information in which we spell out a few things we would like them to learn by heart. We use that language very intentionally because being confirmed, joining the church, affirming our faith, is not the same as cramming for a test. And it is not about memorizing and then eventually forgetting everything. It is about saying yes, and yes, and yes again, each day, to the journey of faith. It's about making the important stuff a part of our daily lives, part of our very being, the very heart of who we are. You see, we don't want to lead you to believe that our four confirmands know everything there is to know. They do not. They do not know specific years that things happened in church history. They do not know random Bible trivia. They haven't memorized entire books of scripture, and they cannot recite creeds with their eyes closed. What they do know, however, is how to ask really good questions, and most importantly, how to listen for the answers. They know that they are a part of a church community, and they are eager to be here and to grow in their roles at St. John's. They have learned by heart important, timeless words from things like the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. They know how to laugh and enjoy the company of church friends. And thanks to Judy Johnston, they know how to make a loaf of banana bread, which they will enjoy for their communion later. They know how to share their joys and concerns with one another, how to help one another in a spirit of service. They know they are loved by God, befriended and accompanied by Jesus, and guided by the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. But most importantly, they know that they don't know. They know that they don't know that they have more learning yet to do. That this day is important, but it is but a deep breath, a pause on the adventure.
Certainly on that first day of Pentecost, there were many things that those gathered did not understand and could not explain. The whoosh of the wind, the whirl of the spirit, the unleashed energy, the potpourri of cultures and languages somehow all fitting together and making sense. It was a God thing, to be sure, a God moment, and those present would have missed it all if they had not paused to breathe, literally and figuratively. I can't help but think about the book of Psalms, which I highly recommend to you as a book of the Bible to take time to read through, perhaps one psalm at a time, because my observation is the psalmist truly understood the importance of breathing and God's spirit, because there are a number of psalms, that is the early hymns of the church, that have breathing marks in them. They guide those who are singing the psalms, playing musical instruments, or speaking them. On numerous occasions, the word Selah is inserted at the end of a thought, or between verses, to call attention to some important movement in the hymn. Selah encourages the speaker or the musician to pause, to catch their breath, and encourages the listener to do the same. Speaking of pausing, pausing is at the root of growth. Without pausing and resting, nothing can grow. One of the things we notice every year with our confirmands is how much they grow, physically speaking, between our first class in the fall and our final class in late spring, end of May, early June. It's one of the reasons why we don't fit them for their confirmation robes in October, because chances are pretty good they'll be 2 inches taller come May or June.
I believe that what our confirmands and what we have to be most excited about is all the things that all of our young people don't know yet. Because today is about them saying yes to the opportunity to learn. It is about them making a commitment to a lifelong curiosity, journey, and discovery of faith. When we know that we don't know, we are in the perfect posture to be taught. When we know that we don't know, we are open to the Spirit's guiding. Our hearts are good soil in which God can plant new wisdom. And my friends, today is also about all of us making a commitment to each of these young people, all of our young people in our lives, that our lives, our actions, our relationships, and our prayers will be with them, truly. That we commit to standing by in awe as they discover things about God and their faith that change their lives. Today is about taking a deep breath and getting ready to grow. For Gray and Kara, Andrew and Greta, and indeed for all of us. May it be so. Amen.